You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
And good morning. Okay, the Northern House will go to the scripture reading. It's in Psalms today, chapter 106, 32 through 38. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sakes, because they provoked his spirit, so that he spake unadvisedly with his lips. They did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them, but were mingled among the heathen and learned their works, and they served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils, and shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, and for his sake. Amen.
Okay, let's join our hearts and minds in prayer. Father, we pause here before the study to give you preeminence and ask your blessing on it, that your spirit be the teacher and that our hearts be willing to accept what your word has to say, that we don't just be hearers of the word, but doers of the word too. So we pray, Father, for a special blessing this morning, strength to overcome the evil one, ears to hear, a heart to be receptive, and an eagerness, Father, to grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for that in his precious name. Amen. What a good morning it is. I mean, it's gorgeous out there. That sun is shining, that sky is blue, and God is just gracious. God is good, and we need to remember that. Carter, in his prayer, said, "Thank you, Lord, for this cold weather." And there's a reason for that. And God even brings cold weather, puts that ragweed to shame, stuffs it right down and shuts it off, which I think a lot of us needed. Allergies have been running crazy. People have been sneezing and blowing their nose. God is good, and we need to be thankful for that. We need to remember that in everything that crosses our life. It's not just the good things that God is good. God is good even in the bad things and the bad times. It's harder, though, when we're in that situation or those circumstances to realize how good God is. I mean, there's anarchy in the world today. There's not a place in the world that you can honestly say, even here in the United States of America, that God has a preeminence. They're against him. They've always been against him. This world system, in every shape and every form, has been against God. We're going to see that in our lesson today. If you remember, the nation Israel fell prey to that. They fell into the grip of the world. They fell into it with the lust of their eyes and the lust of their flesh and the pride of their life. They weren't happy with the things God gave them. How are you today? Are you happy with the things God has given you? Are you happy with your circumstances? Are you rejoicing? Are you realizing how good God is? Not only is there anarchy in the world, to believe it or not, there's apostasy today in the pulpit across America. It seems like our pastors, our teachers of right and wrong, our teachers of what thus saith the Lord, have forgotten what God has said about many things. And in spite of this wonderful election that we just went through this last week, and I'm very happy for the way things turned out, and I'm sure many of you are too. I think I can say that in this congregation. Probably some congregation I couldn't say that, could I? But I'm sure many of you are happy with the way it turned out. That's not our solution. Our solution is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Our solution is in him and what thus saith the Lord. And we need to keep pressing that. I think that was part of what was brought to bear this last Tuesday in the election. There has been apostasy in the church. There's apostasy in the pulpit. We've got pastors who don't even believe that the Word of God is the Word of God. We've got them teaching all kinds of psycho craziness. Psycho heresy is what one guy calls it. We've got them teaching a lot of feel-goodism, a lot of kumbaya, a lot of warm fuzzies. We're getting so many devotions from the pulpit, we're not getting any of the righteousness and the wrath of God. And we're going to see today how important that is. God's serious. Last week when we were here, what did we talk about? We said three things. God speaks, man listens, and God rewards. It's not always a good listen that man gives. So the reward, it's not always a good reward that God gives. If you remember our study last week, turn in your Bibles to 106. If you're not there, open your Bibles to Psalms 106. And notice, we'll back up to verse 29. And as their manner was, oh, I'm sorry, I just kind of put that in there. You could put that in there, though. As their manner was, they provoked him to anger with their doings, and the plague broke in upon them. Then stood up Phinehas. I've always been taught it was Phinehas. Some people pronounce it Phinehas. Then stood up Phinehas and executed judgment, and the plague was checked or was stayed. Phinehas was a man who stood up in righteousness and zeal for God and was zealous for the word of the Lord. And God said, you're not supposed to follow their ways. That's the ways of the Moabites. Balaam taught Balak, here's how you corrupt the nation Israel. Just bring them into their fall, into your fall festival. Bring them into your trunk or treat. Bring them into your Easter program. Let's just water down the things that pertain to God and let's get them to participate with us in our pagan worship, saying, oh no, we believe in that too. And they're lying. They're lying right through their teeth. God said, don't participate. And the nation Israel began to participate with them. They began to associate with them. And just like just Lot, they found themselves vexed by it. And not only vexed in their own heart and in their own way, but they were vexed by God. God was not going to tolerate that. And he's not going to tolerate it anywhere at any time among any people. The good old US of A is not exempt from that. God is serious. When he says don't do that, he means don't do that. Zimri was a chief of prince of the house of Simeon. Was it Simeon? Yes, Simeon. We studied that last week. I made a mistake, and I need to bring this up. I mentioned that Simeon was the firstborn of Jacob, but he's not. He was second Reuben. I don't know why I didn't, I guess just running through it last week, I apologize. Yeah. But he still was a chief. Zimri was a chief of the prince of the house of Simeon. And when he walked into that congregation of Moses and all the rest of them with his little Moabite, Midianite woman, Cosby, that really made Phinehas mad. And he went and got the javelin, chased them to the tent, and threw that javelin and killed both of them. And his zeal for God, his zeal for God gave him an everlasting priesthood. God rewards those, he rewards those who don't hearken unto his word. And he rewards those who do hearken unto his word. Now today we have a dispensation of grace. That's peculiar to our fellowship, the fellowship of the mystery, which is Ephesians 3:9. This dispensation of grace is a different, has a different influence on how things are today. God doesn't strike people down like that today. There will be a day when that rod of iron rules in this world, and Israel is the nation that's set up in the kingdom. And David rules on the throne, and Christ rules with the rod of iron among all the people. But that is not this day. That's another thing that sets us apart today. But I don't want you to think then that everything's cool. It's just a day of grace. Eat, drink, and be merry. No, it's not. God says that whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. We need to remember that. We need to not forget what God has said and how important it is to be attentive to that. Not only is there apostasy in the pulpit, but I hate to point this out to you, but there's apathy in the pews. Apathy among the people. They're not interested in the Word of God. They don't care about the Word of God. They're not interested in what He said yesterday or what He's going to say tomorrow. They're just more interested in what they're going to get today. And they get angry. And they get upset. And they lose sight of how good He is in dark times. They lose sight of what, thus saith the Lord, in bad circumstances. And they begin to start thinking things that lead them astray. They begin to think things that are just foolish and nonsense. It happens to us. It happened to the nation Israel. It even happened to Moses. Moses lost control of himself. You notice here in the scripture that we read today, verse 32 of chapter 106, and this is still a continuation of our study in From the Foundation. And everything deals with Israel from the foundation of the world right up until the end of Acts. And in Acts 28:28, Israel is set aside and God says, I'm not dealing with them anymore. In that little conversation that he'd had with them for how many thousands of years, God reached over, as Champ has told us several times, and he put them on hold. He hit the hold button in that telephone conversation, and God then began to do a wonderfully new thing, never before mentioned in Scripture. Nowhere can you find it from Genesis chapter 1 to Acts 28:28, what God had planned for the body of Christ, the church, today. But there's apathy in the pews. People don't care to study this book. They don't want to rightly divide it. They'd rather listen to what somebody in the pulpit has to say and just follow that instead of studying themselves. You know, I was thinking this week, there's those who know God, and we have a commission to them. We as the body of Christ have a commission to those who know God. And that commission is to present them perfect in Christ. They don't need to light candles for people. They don't need to say any kind of incantations. They don't need to do any ceremonial work for themselves. Everything has been done. God has done it. What a huge hump that is for God's people to get over. To realize there's nothing they can do to merit any favor from Him. Except maybe perhaps look at the cross and see the shed blood of their Savior and realize that He died for them. And repent. God's faithful and just to forgive them of their sins. To restore that fellowship that we lose when we fall into sin. Those who know Him, once they get freed from that guilt and that burden that comes with it of thinking, what can I do today to please God? It frees them up. Because then and finally, they know the truth. And what did Jesus say about the truth? The truth shall set you free. Make you free. I like that. We need to be free in our walk. We don't need to be bogged down with burdens of sin in our life. Doesn't mean that we have a right to sin. God forbid, as Paul writes in Romans chapter 6. Those who don't know Him, those who don't know Him need to hear the gospel of how good God is and how gracious God is and that God will never hold your sins accountable to you when you receive His love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But all of God's people fall into this situation, these circumstances, when things don't go right. They're prone to sin because the devil, the adversary that we have, is one that's real. And Moses isn't any different. Verse 32, they angered God also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill for Moses' sake. Wait a minute. They're the ones who got God mad, and then Moses is the one who it went ill for? Yeah, that's what he said. It went ill for Moses because they angered God. Wait a minute. We're not supposed to get angry. Right? No, it's okay to be angry. Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4, be angry and sin not. There is a righteous anger that we'll see. God's angry, it says in Psalm 7:11. I like that, Psalm 7:11. God's angry with the wicked every day. And just as He is gracious in His storehouse of treasures to His people, the righteous. God every day is angry with the wicked. He just won't countenance any favor from them or any effort from them because they have totally turned their back on Him. They have hardened their heart and they refuse to hear. They have refused to hear. Turn with me to Mark chapter 3. Jesus was angry one day. And He was contending with those who were righteous in their own eyes. Mark chapter 3. He entered the synagogue, verse 1. He entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there who had a withered hand. And they watched him, whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. That's the world. That's the world that we face today. There's anarchy in the world today, even against God, and they'll find any way that they can to bring an accusation against Him. Verse 3, and He said unto the man who had the withered hand, stand forth. And He said unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil, to save life or to kill? That's an easy question. That's an easy question. God loves mercy. It's lawful to save life. It's lawful to do good. The Sabbath was supposed to be set apart so that man would have a chance to worship God. But man became the subject of the Sabbath and not God. And the last phrase in verse 4 is they held their peace. They held their peace. They got caught between two opinions. How long? How long was it Elijah said, shall you be caught between two opinions? Verse 5, when He had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, He said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as sound as the other, or as whole as the other. He healed on the Sabbath day. But he was angry. I think it's okay to be angry. God says, be angry and sin not. It's okay to be angry. Just don't get provoked by your anger so that you commit sin. Don't become angered. Angered is what we need to watch out for. And in its weakness, sin will take advantage of angry and become willful and become angered. God's angry with the wicked. Jesus was angry with these who, look at verse 5, it says, these who had hardness of heart. Hardness of heart. Their ears were stopped. Their eyes were waxed over. Their heart was turned from Him. They wanted nothing to do with Him. I found a picture of this in Zechariah. You want to go look at it real quick? I thought it was a cool picture. So let's go look at it. Zechariah chapter 5. It's the third from the last. Malachi? No, it's right before Malachi. Second from the last in the Old Testament. So if you go to the New Testament, back up two verses, or two chapters to Zechariah. And in chapter 7. Zechariah was a prophet after the exile, when they returned to the land, after the time of Daniel's 70 years in Babylon. Zechariah was a prophet to those who returned to the land. And in verse 4, he says to them, as a prophet of God, then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land and to the priests, saying, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even in those 70 years, did you at all fast unto me, even to me? And when you did eat and when you did drink, and did not you eat for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Should you not hear the words which the Lord cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited? And in prosperity, and its cities round about it, when men inhabited the south and the plains. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, See, God speaks. Here's where God speaks. Execute true judgment. Show mercy and compassion, every man to his brother. Oppress not the widow nor the fatherless, the stranger nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and they pulled away the shoulder. You know what that what a beautiful picture that is. You ever put your arm around somebody? And you say, now look. And they pull it away. They don't want any part of you. That's what they're doing here to God. They pulled away their shoulder and they stopped their ears that they should not hear. And yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. They hardened their heart. Lest they should what? Hear. Oh, they listened. Oh, they listened so much that it just made them harder. It made them more resentful, more obtuse, but they didn't want to hear. Lest they hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Be angry, but sin not. Sin will work bitterness. And the devil will use that. And it goes on to say, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the devil have a place. And that's how he gets a place. Now turn with me to Numbers, because I want to look at this picture of Moses. And Moses, it went ill for Moses. The people did something. They wanted water. Numbers chapter 20. And that's It seemed like as their manners were, always provoking him, always unhappy, always murmuring, always disappointed in what had been and instead of what they had. Always disputing, always contending. We're not to do that. That's the bottom line on that. I'm not going to embarrass you and ask you to hold your hand up if this last week, if you contended about something or if you murmured about something or if something just wasn't going your way. Not necessarily something that God said, here it is, but I mean with others. Especially brothers and sisters in the Lord. The devil uses that all the time. What an example we need to find out. And poor Moses, here he is. He gets stuck with it. Let me tell you a couple of things about anger. The first occurrence was when the Lord visited Abraham and said, you see Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm going to go wipe it out. And he said, oh no, Lord, don't be angry with them if there's 50. You remember that story? If you don't, go back. But that's the first use of the word angry. The Lord's angry with that type of work, that type of activity. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. And that's where it begins. It's funny to go and hear what some people have to say about anger. Daniel Webster said, keep cool. Anger is not an argument. I like that. You ever hear anybody start to raise their voice? They think that's going to win the argument? Does that ever win an argument with you? No. Oh, you may cower somebody into, oh, well, whatever you say. Whatever. Nevertheless, anger doesn't win an argument. Phyllis Diller. I didn't say this came out of the Bible. These are just quotes. Phyllis Diller said, never go to bed mad. Stay up and fight. Benjamin Franklin, whatever is begun, he said, in anger ends in shame. Wise man. Colin Powell, get mad, then get over it. Mark Twain said, anger is an acid that can do more harm to a vessel, to the vessel in which it is stored, than to anything on which it is poured. And Albert Einstein said, anger dwells only in the bosom of fools. Anger dwells only in the bosom of fools. Well, Proverbs has a lot to say about it. Let me tell you a couple of things. Proverbs 14:17, he that is soon angry deals foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. Proverbs 22:24 says, make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs up strife. There is a solution, though, when you encounter somebody who is angry. You sure don't want them to get angered, because angry leads to anger when it's provoked, and anger leads to sin. Lots of sin comes from omission, of commission. Think about that just for a minute. Think with me. Let's just don't run on to the next thought. Let's think. Omission to do what is good is a sin. God has told us that. But what we omit to do is often what we should commit to do. For instance, Proverbs chapter 15, verse 1, a soft word turns away anger or wrath. It's easier to contend than it is to just sit back and say, let the Lord handle it. Let Him take care of it, especially if you've got something vested in it. That is God's solution. He says it a little bit better over in Ephesians when Paul writes. He said in that same passage, well, turn over to Ephesians. Hold your hand there in Numbers, because we're going to come back and look at Moses. But in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, 26, sorry. How did I get 5 out of that? He says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. This is how we give place to the devil. Verse 20, back up 25. Put away lying. Speak truth. 26, don't be angry and let the sun go down on your wrath. Phyllis Diller probably got the right attitude. You know, don't go to bed angry. Stay up and fight. Get it worked out. If it's something you got to work out with yourself or with the Lord, or get it worked out. Neither give place to the devil. Here's another way. Verse 28, don't steal. 29, don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger. See, anger is the provoked angry. It's okay to be angry, but don't let sin step in. Put away bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Put away from you all with malice. And be ye kind. Here is that soft word that turns away wrath. Be ye kind one to another. Tender hearted. You know, tender heartedness, I think, comes from realizing that the person you're dealing with is the same person that you are. You used to be. You used to do the same things. You used to have that same inclination until God begins to get a hold of your life and the Word of God begins to permeate your life and you begin to meditate on these things, and that becomes more important than your way and your will. So that's what makes it easy to esteem others better than yourself, is to begin to start being filled with the Spirit that Paul writes about in chapter 5 of this same book. To be filled with the Spirit. Some people think that's to be filled with this incantation of the third part of God, but it's not to be filled with Him, it's to be filled with the fruit of the Spirit. It's love and joy and peace. It's those things that Paul's talking about when he says to be filled with the Spirit. It's the things that are the byproduct of the Spirit Himself. Tender-hearted. My dad always told me that his dad, my grandfather, had a grocery store in Stroud, Oklahoma. And they killed their own meat at the barn, you know, right outside the front door. Can you imagine Champ being a 12, 13-year-old kid, and your dad saying, okay, we got to go out and get some meat for today's meat market? Ah, great. Yeah. Grab that cow by the feet, on those locks and pull him right up by the chain, slice his throat, bleed him out, cut him open, clean him up, pull the meat off, and you hadn't even gone to first hour yet in high school. You're still, oh boy, I wish I was on the bus, you know, going to school instead of this. But he'd take that meat and he'd dress it up and he'd put it there in the display case, and women would come along and he'd sit there and they'd go, "Is that meat tender?" My granddad looked at him and said, "As tender as a mother's heart." Be tender-hearted. That mother looks at that baby. There's not a thing that baby can do. That baby has no idea what the world's all about and what's going on. But that mother knows that if you just love and care and nurture and bring that baby up, and hopefully that mother's a Christian, bring that baby up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. What a blessing that'll be. Tender-hearted. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. That's going back to the cross and seeing that blood and realizing what God accomplished and what Christ gave. What a great sacrifice it is. Come back to Moses. We're going to spend just a little time with Moses here. We got 10 minutes. I don't care what your watch says. I've got my watch. I've got Champ's watch up here, and we got time. Numbers chapter 20. The Lord spoke unto Moses in verse 7. The Lord spoke. Moses is another picture of, say, a man who God speaks to, and a man who has a chance to do what God says, and a man who has an opportunity to be rewarded. Moses here is a picture of that same situation. In verse 7 of chapter 20, the Lord spoke unto Moses, "Take the rod." Remember, they're angry. They've angered God because they're thirsty. "Oh, I'm thirsty. Give me something to drink." Yeah, God gave them already water once when Moses struck it with the rod. God said, "Strike the rock and give them water." God gave them food when they wanted something to eat. God gave them meat when they wanted something to eat. God's provided every time for everything they've ever needed. You and I are the same way. God has never abandoned us. He's never forsaken us. You may not understand what's going on with your firstborn or your lastborn. You may not understand what went on with your mom or your dad. You may not know what's going on at work or next door. You may not. All those situations are kind of weird and they work on you and you begin to think, well, what is God doing? Well, let me tell you, I don't know if I ever know what God is doing a lot of the time. I think I do, but then other times I don't. Under the same thing. I thought I did, but it didn't. He had something else going on. And that's good, because His thoughts are not my thoughts, nor are His ways my ways, He says in Isaiah. He says, as far as the heavens are above the earth, are His ways above my ways, and His thoughts above my thoughts. I need to just get on board and say, "Reporting for duty, sir." That's the whole duty of man. The wisest man in the world found out in Ecclesiastes chapter 12. The wisest man in the world found that out. God had given them everything they want, and they've angered Him because we want water. Verse 8. God said to Moses, "Take the rod, gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak unto the rock before their eyes." So here's the picture. Moses, get your rod, grab your brother Aaron, get everybody together, and let's go over to the rock. We're going to do this again. We've done it before. And I want you to speak to the rock this time. Speak to it. "And it shall give forth its water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock, so thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink." Okay, cool. Got it. I can handle this, Moses says. Verse 9, Moses took the rod before the Lord, as he commanded him. "And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock." So good. Good so far. All right, we're good. "And he said unto them, hear now." And he gets a little off base here, doesn't he? He makes it personal. He makes it personal. "You rebels." Oops. Shouldn't have done that. You see, he's provoked. That little provocation is starting to well up in him. "You rebels." And then he says, "Must God fetch you No, he didn't say that, did he? Must we fetch you water out of this rock? He took a couple of sideward steps, you know. Don't turn to the left, don't turn to the right. God says go straight. He took a little left or a little right step here. In verse 11, Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod he smote the rock, not once, twice. Be angry and sin not. He sinned so bad. It went ill with him. How ill did it go with him? Well, God forbid him from that point. Him and Aaron from that point. An opportunity to go in the promised land. God had plenty of water come out of that rock. Look at verse 11. Moses lifted up his hand and with his rod he smote the rock twice and the water came out abundantly. All he had to do was speak. Leave it between him and them. God had plenty of water to feed them, their beast, and everybody else, and thousands, one more, millions of them. He had no problems feeding them, giving them water. Verse 12, the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron, because you believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel. What we fail to do, the very first thing is like Moses. We fail to give God the credit. We take the credit. Must we, he said. Me and Aaron are going to do this for you. It doesn't have anything to do with him and Aaron. It's all God. Must we take the credit? You bet. We want the credit. What we ought to do is we need to give God the credit. We need to trust in him and follow his word and let it work out. See how he gets it right. And because they believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, verse 12, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. This is the water of Meribah, because the children of Israel strove with the Lord and he was sanctified in them. Well, come back to Psalms 106. That must have been important to the Lord to have it recounted here in this historical presentation of the nation Israel. Verse 33, because they provoked his spirit so that he spoke unadvisedly with his lips. That's what happened to Moses. They provoked his spirit. The devil uses that. Don't be provoked and don't provoke. Verse 34, it goes on. As their manner was, they didn't follow what the Lord said. Verse 34, they did not destroy the nations concerning whom the Lord commanded them. They didn't take care of business. They never took care of business. They never followed what God had to say to the T. And how much easier it had been for them. Do you remember Joshua when he finally, Moses takes them right up to the promised land or on the west side of the Jordan, and he gives the commission to Joshua, and Joshua says, we're going in, and they go in, and they rout Jericho. Turn over to Joshua chapter, let's find it, chapter 2 or 3. Chapter 7. And they go with the fight against this little bitty town. It's just a skirmish. It's not even, you know, it's a Division 1A team against a NAIA team. You know, it's the AI. See it, the AI? NAIA? AI? Okay. Chapter 7, verse 1. The children of Israel committed a trespass in the accused thing for Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed thing, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against the children of Israel. He said, don't participate in anything with them. Destroy them and everything that they have. And they wouldn't do it. And so what happens? What happens when God speaks and man listens, but he doesn't hear? Joshua brings everybody together because they're routed by these little NAIA guys whose offensive line averages about 195, and their offensive line averages 320, and they get beat. And so Joshua, in verse 16, same chapter, rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken, and he brought the family of Judah, and he took the family of Zerahites, and he brought the family of Zerahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken, and he brought his household man by man, and there's Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel. You know, let me just stop there a minute. You know this passage in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6? It says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. You can't give glory to God, like Joshua just said, if you haven't in all your ways acknowledged him. Believe me that sin will find you out even in your own mind, unless you're just so destitute and wicked and apart from God and worthless that you've seared that over and you don't have a clue. Verse 18, he brought his household. Verse 19, Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now, what hast thou done? Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I've sinned. Bless his heart. He confessed his sin. What you sow is what you reap. Doesn't go well for him. Verse 24. Joshua and all the children of Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah and the silver and the gold, the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen, his ass and his sheep and his tent and all that he had, and they brought them into the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned him with fire if they'd stoned him with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Every time, come back to Psalms 106. And then there's so many. We'll look at some of these. It leads us into Joshua and what's going on with Joshua as they go in to conquer the land. And they're conquering the land because the land had been given to them. They conquered Jericho. They go back and they conquer Ai. And they begin to establish themselves in the land. But they still don't follow the Lord. I'm in Psalms 106, verse 35. They mingled themselves among the heathen. They learned their works. They served their idols, which were a snare unto them. Yea, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters unto devils. And they shed innocent blood, even the blood of their sons and of their daughters, whom they sacrificed unto the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Next week, we're going to look at a graphic picture of that from the prophet Ezekiel. And we're going to take a time out to see how much God loved them and how much he overlooked. How much he pleaded with them to follow his way, to be his people, to obey him in all that he had to say. Examples for us? Yes. All of these are examples for us, Paul writes over in Corinthians. They're written for our understanding. We need to realize that we're not that much different. We have the same original parents, Adam and Eve, and they were just given one rule. Of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, you can eat, save for one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They couldn't even keep one commandment. How important is it for us, if that's the way our parents are, and we've got to be as bad as they are, how important it is for us to constantly be on guard, to be vigilant about our walk with the Lord, to be diligent about spending time with Him, not to be professors only, but to be possessors of the truth of God. When there's anarchy in the world and there's apostasy in the pulpit and apathy in the pew, what greater thing Because God, this is the people. Do the people of God have but the Word of God to cling to? We need to study it. We need to apply it in our lives. And if you haven't done it, start doing it today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the blessing of life and the joy we have and the liberty that you've given us to live it the way we want. We appreciate that. You've given us free will. And in that free will, Father, we can exercise either our love for you, our wholeheartedness for you, or our love of ourselves. Maybe be wise enough, Father, to distinguish between the two. May we, when challenged by ourselves or those around us, may we be able to exercise godliness in a way that glorifies you and brings honor to your Son. And this we pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.